Good morning. Thank you for joining us for this digital morning prayer and sermon for the third Sunday of Epiphany. We will be opening with a familiar hymn, number 632, O Christ the Word Incarnate.
Oh, Christ the Word Incarnate, O wisdom from on high, O truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of our dark sky. We praise thee for the radiance that from the scriptures made, a lantern to our footsteps shines on from age to age. The church from our dear master receive the word divine, and still that light is lifted for all the earth to shine. It is the chart and compass that all life's surging sea, mid bits and rocks and quicksands, still guides, O Christ, to thee. O make thy church, dear Savior, a lamp of purest gold, to bear before the nations thy true light as of old. O teach thy wandering pilgrims by this their path to trace, till clouds and darkness ended, they see thee face to face.
Morning prayer begins on page 76 in the Book of Common Prayer. From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name shall be great among the nations, and in every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so that we may prepare our hearts and mind to worship him, let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving,
and raise a loud shout to him with psalms.
For the Lord is a great God,
and a great king above all gods.
In his hand are the caverns of the earth,
and the heights of the hills are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it,
and his hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us bow down and bend the knee,
and kneel before the Lord our maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice.
Our psalm appointed for today is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God,
and the firmament shows his handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another,
and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language,
and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out into all lands,
and their message to the ends of the world.
In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again.
Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever.
The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold.
Sweeter far than honey in the comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened.
And in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can tell how often he offends?
Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me.
Then shall I be whole and sound, and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Reading from the book of Nehemiah. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our canticle appointed for this morning is Canticle 11, found on page 87 in the Book of Common Prayer. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord has dawned upon you.
For behold, darkness covers the land.
Deep gloom enshrouds the peoples.
But over you the Lord will rise.
And his glory will appear upon you.
Nations will stream to your light.
And kings to the brightness of your dawning.
Your gates will always be open.
By day or night they will never be shut.
They will call you the city of the Lord.
The Zion of the Holy One of Israel.
Violence will no more be heard in your land.
Ruin or destruction within your borders.
You will call your walls salvation.
And all your portals praise.
The sun will no more be your light by day.
By night you will not need the brightness of the moon.
The Lord will be your everlasting light.
And your God will be your glory.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body. The members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our second canticle for this morning is Canticle 16, found on page 92 in the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel.
He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior,
born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies,
from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers,
and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham,
to set us free from the hands of our enemies,
free to worship him without fear,
holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High,
for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way,
to give his people knowledge of salvation
by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God,
the dawn from on high shall break upon us,
to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death,
and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Okay, I have a riddle for you. I bring people light without flame. I always put folly to shame. In nature and letter, you'll never find better, for the last book is also my name. Any guesses? Revelation. Well, this morning, as we continue our Epiphany trek through the Psalms and how they prepare our hearts to hear the whole of God's revelation in our Sunday readings, we come across one of my favorites, Psalm 19. And the overarching theme of this psalm is God's revelation, how God speaks to us, and how we should respond to the God who never ceases unfolding his revelation before our eyes. This, of course, ties in nicely with the account of the restoration of biblical literacy in Nehemiah's day, St. Paul's admonition to embrace all of God's gifts, especially those that teach us God's word with clarity, and also with Jesus' synagogue appearance in which he declares himself the very fulfillment of God's revelation encapsulated in Holy Scripture. Now, there is a caveat I'd like to bring up from the beginning. There's a tendency when talking about God's divine revelation, his communicated purposes and plans unveiled, that we steel ourselves for something akin to academic discourse. And as most of you know me well enough, I love to explore all the nooks and crannies of meaning, reflection, doctrine, even debate when it comes to the Bible. But this psalm, while certainly making room for those activities, ensures that this isn't all merely a head game, all thinking, no feeling. And my, what feeling! Conflating the imagery of both cosmic hero and beautiful sunrise, the psalmist not merely points out that God speaks to us through nature, but heightens a sense of delight and hopefulness, stirring our hearts with expectation that we too might encounter further opportunities to discover God's will unfolding before us day by day. Sir Isaac Newton was not only noted for his keen scientific mind and curiosity, but also a deep piety that drove him to search out God's revelation in the natural world as a complementary means of understanding God's will alongside Scripture. The current science versus the Bible battles are a sad fiction, perpetuated by people who would either have none of God on one hand or none of thoughtfulness and education on the other. Our Lord speaks through both nature and Scripture, and he wants us to be excited in seeking him and his purposes in the world around us. Then the psalmist guides us back to the pages of the Bible, God's law, his precepts, his statutes. These are common part for the whole terms that are used to refer to God's word written. And in these words, the psalmist finds tremendous delight. Note the superlative way he speaks of the Bible and how it impacts him emotionally. It rejoices the psalmist's heart. It makes his spiritual vision clear. It washes him and has a sense of eternal weight. It captures the fullness of what holiness and goodness are supposed to be. God's word is worth more than gold and sweeter to our souls than honey. The word of God in Holy Scripture brings those who hearken to it great reward. So we should be excited in encountering God as he speaks to us, whether in nature or in the Bible. We should also be sober when sometimes we discover we have not lived up to the high ideals we read about and try to live out. Who can tell how often he offends? Indeed, we pray each Sunday that God might forgive us for things done and left undone. We ask his mercy for sins committed in thought and word and not merely deed. None of us is perfect save Jesus alone, which is why we rely on Christ's perfection, counted in place of our imperfection, and depend on his indwelling spirit to live out what we could never do by ourselves. Oddly enough, this frank appreciation of our sinfulness is not meant to be a Debbie Downer that stifles our joy over God's revelation. It should, in reality, increase it, because we have a God who not only forgives us, but makes a way for divine perfection that's both accessible and practical. God's grace and mercy, his generosity and forgiveness, is what gave us divine revelation to begin with. And as we heed God's word, we can join the psalmist in boldly declaring, "Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense." How marvelous is that? Not merely forgiven, but declared not guilty. Not merely fixed up with heavenly duct tape, but completely whole, completely sound, entirely restored. I remember during my clinical and pastoral education at Nemours Children's Hospital, we each had a chance to share our spiritual journey in our group sessions. And I talked about how exciting it was to get a Bible for my birthday, how instrumental it was to my conversion to Christ, and it still is to my continued spiritual growth, how alive and fresh Scripture always is to me. My instructor commented how much he wished he had that same kind of excitement and conviction about the Bible. I have since grown to feel similarly about the means of grace as well, the sacraments, Holy Communion and baptism, in which we get a snapshot of how God takes the natural and common and infuses them with the opportunity to experience his presence, active and at work, to open our eyes and experience him by faith. In fact, God can take any object, any moment, and make it sacramental, if we are open to the reality that God will never leave us, never forsake us, and is constantly at work everywhere in the world around us to wake us up to his saving purposes. God's revelation in nature and Scripture should inspire us, should convict us, should convince us, should strengthen us, should put the gas in our spiritual engines that propels us along in our journey with Jesus. The psalmist models an attitude of joyful fervor over the fact that the Lord never stops talking to us if we would only listen. And that excitement to encounter the God who speaks helps us to listen to our Heavenly Father as he attentively and proactively speaks to us, just like the crowds in Nehemiah's day. To seek clarity in the Spirit's guidance, just like the church at Corinth. And to embrace Jesus as the Word made flesh, just as is promised in the Word made letter. God is speaking. Is your heart excited to listen? Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 96 in the Book of Common Prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
Guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In our Anglican cycle of prayer, we remember before you the Most Reverend Francisco de Assis da Silva, the Primate of Brazil, in the Anglican Episcopal Church of Brazil. We also pray for our Bishop in our Diocesan cycle of prayer, Dorsey McConnell, and non-parochial clergy, remembering especially Todd Brewer, Cynthia Bronson Swigert, Mabel Fanguy, Dan Hall, Paul Johnston, and Terrence Johnston. In our parish cycle of prayer, we remember Pat and Bernie Nelson. And we also ask your prayers, O Lord, and for those who are sick and suffering, remembering especially Kelly, Grant, Eileen, Paul, Georgie, Geraldine, Missy, Ada, the friends and family of Laramie, Cheryl, Samuel, Deb, Georgia, John, Vera, Tom, Franny, Bud, Rob, Drew, Mary Lou, Stephanie, Sister Mary John, Sister Mary Charles, and a special blessing on Larry's sister and the loss of her husband. We also ask, O Lord, your blessing upon our events and initiatives as a parish. Remember Frank's Friends Sunday School, our service of evening prayer, our choir, our annual meeting, Rhythms of Grace. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to open our heart to God's revelation in nature and scripture. We give you thanks and praise for the love that you have bestowed upon us through your daily blessings. And we pray, Almighty and ever-living God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, hear our prayers for this, our parish family. Strengthen the faithful, arouse the careless, and restore the penitent. Grant us all things necessary for our common life, and bring us to be of one heart and mind within your holy church, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us say together the general thanksgiving, found on page 101. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever.
Amen.